In 2014, President Obama created the Task Force on 21st Century Policing. He asked its members to address divisions between local police and their communities that were evident in protests around the country then. The task force published its recommendations almost a year ago. As KUW's Law and Politics reporter Amy Radel reports, there are still a lot of barriers to change.
In 2011, the Justice Department found that 70% of confrontations in which Seattle police used force involved people with mental illness or under the influence of drugs. How to handle those encounters has become a major focus of police training. On a recent day at the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Academy in Burien, training officer Joseph Winters calls on a police recruit to help act out a scenario.
Give me somebody up here. I need somebody.
The recruit is assigned an unglamorous role, an elderly man with dementia found wandering in a parking lot.
Because we're going to do the dementia. All right, give me a cop.
This is a class in crisis intervention, and demand for this training is on the rise, perhaps thanks in part to the President's Task Force on 21st Century Policing. That group says this training should be mandatory for police officers across the country. The Academy's executive director, Sue Rahr, served on that task force and helped write those recommendations.
I just saw it as a tremendous opportunity.
When she was plucked to join the task force, Rahr felt like a kid getting sent to the grown-ups table.
You know, after many, many years in law enforcement, it's the first time that I think political leaders were willing to step back and say, maybe this pure, tough-on-crime, zero-tolerance is not necessarily the best or the only way to deal with the issues we're dealing with.
The task force held hearings across the country. Last May, the group issued 59 recommendations for law enforcement policies, training, and technology. Rahr was proud of the task force's number one recommendation that law enforcement culture should embrace a guardian rather than a warrior mindset to build trust and legitimacy. That concept got a mixed reception among police officers. Some said good cops have always been guardians. Others said not being a warrior could get cops hurt or killed. Looking back, Rahr wishes she'd phrased it differently.
What I didn't do well is explain that being a guardian does not preclude you from being a warrior when that's necessary. And I think I created resistance by the way that I presented it, because I think a lot of people interpreted what I was saying as it has to be one or the other.
And being on the president's task force turned out to be its own hurdle.
I was very surprised by the number of law enforcement leaders and politicians refused to read the report because they dislike the Obama administration. That was pretty surprising to me.
Jerry Ratcliffe is a professor of criminal justice at Temple University in Philadelphia. He agrees that associations with Obama may limit the impact of the report. He says that's a shame because the report is a thoughtful look at the future of policing, but it's not one that police departments have much incentive to adopt.
Because we have over 17,000 independent police departments with no centralized control or oversight, none of the recommendations from the report are in any way, shape, or form enforceable.
And he says police departments tend to resist changes dictated from outside. But Ratcliffe says the International Association of Chiefs of Police has found what may be a promising strategy. That group is pushing cities to use the report as a litmus test when hiring new chiefs of police.
And that's a way I think that there could be some change and motivation to start really looking at this report and seeing what it says about police departments and best practice.
The idea that police departments will, for better or worse, reflect the values of local elected leaders is something Rahr has also emphasized.
The idea that we have, you know, police departments that are out of control, they're out of control with the cooperation or at the behest of the political structure that they report to.
These days, Rahr is trying to reach beyond the academy to work more directly with the state's police departments.
You know, there's an old saying, sow the station, sow the street. And so we're trying to build the right kind of culture inside the station, as well as give guidance to how to build that kind of trust in the community.
Bellevue criminal defense attorney James Bible says minorities will trust police when they feel confident of receiving equal treatment.
I can appreciate that the report was trying to find ways to restore trust. I think that departments around the state and this nation are trying to restore what I would say is silence.
Bible is assisting the family of Shay Taylor, who was shot by a Seattle police officer in February. Bible notes that SPD has not agreed to bring in outside investigators for Taylor's death, although the task force report calls that a best practice.
There was a recommendation in relation to independent investigation of police shootings. I think that that's critical.
Ultimately, Bible calls the task force report ambitious, but says so far, changes in American policing seem more about messaging than about substance.
And until we're in a place where officers that break the rules can be fired, a lot of this will be nothing more than window dressing.
Sue Rahr says she's met lots of police officers committed to implementing the report findings, but she can also relate to Bible's frustration.
I knew change was hard. I didn't think it was going to be this hard, and I wasn't expecting it to take this long.
In Burien, I'm Amy Radel, KUOW News.